Spirit Radio Podcasts.
With many people unable to visit Woodlands due to travel distance restrictions, our next guest has decided to bring the great Irish outdoors to us through online streaming painting tutorials. And her next Woodland painting tutorial will be beamed live from Woodlands next to her home in Ashford, County Wicklow. So on the line to tell us more, we have artist Susan Webb of the Irish School of Landscape Painting. You're very welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely fantastic to have you on. First of all, Susan, you and your family's surname Webb, it'll be very well known to anyone who's a fan of painting in Ireland. But for those who are new to painting, such as myself as well, I'm limited in this area. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the family's work as artists.
Well, my dad, Kenneth Webb, is quite well known, but my mum, Joan Webb, she paints as well. So we truly grew up in a painting family.
Mm.
So my parents founded the Irish School of Landscape Painting in 1957. So once I moved to Ashford, my home here became the new base for the school. And my godmother, Claire Cryan, she ran the Blue Door Studio in Ballsbridge in Dublin. So between the two of them, I had lots of education. So my dad used to be head of the painting school and the pottery school in the Belfast College of Art. And Claire was head of the plenary school in the Dublin College of Art. So,
wow, Jenny, yeah. You wouldn't want to end up being a lawyer in that family, I'd imagine. You know? the lineage there is pretty strong. Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this online initiative now, Susan, that you've started, and how the idea came about.
Okay, well, when COVID-19 hit us all, the age profile of our student base is on the latter side of the years, so I was particularly cautious that we would keep everybody safe. But at the same time, everyone was used to meeting every week in Dublin, and it wasn't a big leap to bring all the classes here to Ashford. And my son is a real technological whiz, so we set up the online classes. And then I saw how really useful that was for my students, who they weren't technologically adept, so it took quite a lot of support phone calls to get them on their iPads, their phones, and their computers, or their sons' or daughters' computers.
Sure.
And they really appreciated the phone calls. They really enjoyed keeping together. And do you know what? Teaching online is in some ways really, really useful, because when I do a demonstration, which I've done for many years, people sit, watch the demonstration, they take notes, they might have the painting for reference afterwards, but the actual moment of the brush being applied to the canvas has gone by. Now, when people are watching the live stream, they can pause it, they can see me mix my paint, because we would have a camera on the palette as well. They can mix the paint to exactly that color, pause it while they're doing that, then go and see how I put the brush stroke on the canvas. So in some ways, it may work well for people. Anyway, I saw how people were thriving with that, and when it came around to the end of April, which was the beginning of our outdoor painting season, and we had a class scheduled for the woods here in Ashford to paint the wood anemones, and I was phoning around people telling them, I'm sorry, we can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, we could do it online. And when I was doing it online anyway, then I, you know, all these images of people being locked up in the hot flats in Madrid and in Rome and all over the world, as well as in Ireland. I thought, gosh, there's people in Dublin, they can't get out of the city because it's the 2 kilometre limit. Why don't I just stream the woodland? And since we were offering it to everyone, we obviously, you know, it was going to be free.
Well, it sounds fantastic, Susan, because just what you were saying there as well, I can resonate with, because I'm in university at the moment and a lot of my classes have moved online as well. And what you said about pausing and even rewinding and things like that, just if you missed a bit, because in a live kind of setting, it's a little bit more difficult to do that.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. So there are pluses and minuses for everything, really, you know.
Mm. And what you said as well, I wonder, does the nature of the class maybe lend itself a little more towards this kind of thing? Because obviously, like you're describing the brush strokes and things like that, do you use the camera maybe to zoom in on the painting that you're doing at times?
Absolutely, yes. Mm. We zoom right in, and then we have the live chat that goes on alongside with the YouTube stream, so the students can still interact and ask any questions they want. In fact, they can do it a little bit more anonymously, so they don't have to be afraid about asking a silly
question.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. People won't even know if they're asking a silly question. That's great. Tell us a little bit more about the... You said that it's streamed from County Wicklow, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Tell us a bit about the landscape that you're using for the streaming tutorials.
Okay, so we're a mile upstream from Mount Usher Gardens. Mm. So the woodland runs in a long, thin strip alongside the River Vartry. It's mostly deciduous woodland. There's a lot of wildlife there. If we sit very, we won't be quiet because I'll be talking, but you do sometimes. Last stream, we had lots of birds singing, and at the very end of the stream, bees that had been buzzing around, one bee flew straight up and looked in the camera to say goodbye just as we were switching
brilliant.
Off.
Brilliant. Oh, brilliant. That's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, and so that lends itself well, I guess, to the landscape painting, does it?
It does indeed. It does indeed, yeah.
Super. So tell us a bit about the previous painting tutorials and how they went and kind of the, I suppose, the structure to them.
Oh, the painting tutorials we do on a Tuesday morning from the studio here, we've decided to do to keep the brain active as well as the hand active with the paint. We've chosen this time to study different artists, all relevant to the landscape and all building very nicely into a cohesive stream. So we started with the first month on Monet. Mm. So we did five weeks on Monet. The first of the 5 weeks, I do a set the scene demonstration all in one go, from beginning to finish of the picture. And then in the next four streams, we go slowly step by step so that everybody can paint along with me and everybody produces their own Monet-type painting. Then we did Vincent van Gogh, or Van Gogh, or Van Gogh, depending how you pronounce it. Mm. And we're just about to start with Suzanne. So it's building up to a nice little piece where you can see the relevance of what we've always taught in the school and where it came from.
It's absolutely fantastic. It sounds brilliant, I have to say. And for tomorrow, I believe that we have something to expect from you tomorrow. What can we expect?
That's right. So we're going to be down in the woods beside the river this time, and we're going to do acrylics this time. Last time it was oils. And next time it will be watercolor and mixed media. So we're varying the medium so that people who have been writing in through the chat box are a bit worried that they don't have the right materials. Hmm. And surprisingly, quite a lot of children have enjoyed watching. They sort of peeked over the shoulder of their mother, whoever was watching, and thought it was quite magical to see the blank canvas turn into a painting in the middle of the woods. So again, we wanted to make it relevant to paints that kids would have around.
Brilliant. So on that point, I guess, what paints and what setup will people need to take part at home?
Well, really any paints that you've got. I'll be using acrylics and simple colours, whatever yellows you've got. The best ones would be yellow ochre, which is a very neutral yellow, and lemon yellow, cadmium yellow, whatever greens, a blue, a brown, a white. If you don't have acrylics, kids' poster paints will do exactly the same thing. They'll just be a little bit more messy, not quite as refined, but they'll do the same thing.
Super. And what time will it be streamed live from?
From 2:30 in the afternoon until 5 o'clock. We will take a half-hour coffee break so that people can have a break, because it's quite a long time to sit and watch all in one go. So
of course,
there'll be a half-hour break in the middle of that. We've got five cameras on the stream. So two of them are CCTV cameras, which will pan around the woods. So there'll be sort of relaxing views as well for those who aren't that keen on the technical bit.
Brilliant. And how can people take part? Where should they go?
So rather than giving you the long YouTube link over the radio, it's probably easiest if you just go to my website, which is www.irishschoolofLandscapePainting.com, and then the link will be obvious from there.
Brilliant.
In fact, if you go to the website, there's quite a few free videos there, including the last one from the woods a month ago, which was in oil.
Super. Susan, let me ask you as well, when all of this has settled down and the dust has settled, do you think you'll continue with these online tutorials?
Absolutely. I really do, especially if we get some people from abroad interested. At the moment, we've had quite a few views of the free live streams from all over the world. Because once you're on YouTube, then YouTube start predicting your behaviour and they've recommended us. So it'd be really lovely to have people tuning in to the River Vartry from America and Spain and New Zealand and Russia and China. But we'll see how it goes.
That's absolutely fantastic. I have to say, I love this, and I love to see technology being used for such a great purpose as well. So thank you, Susan, so much for talking to us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
So that was Susan Webb of the Irish School of Landscape Painting. And for more information, like Susan said, you can go to www.irishschoolandscapepainting.com, and then you can follow the link towards the tutorial that's going to be live streamed there. That's tomorrow, Sunday the 31st of May, from 2:30 to 5 p.m. with a half hour coffee break, like Susan said. So join in with Susan. Spirit. Now, our next guest from the charity Women's Aid has seen a 40% increase in calls to their helpline during the COVID-19 lockdown. The charity runs a national helpline for women suffering from domestic violence or abuse. To raise funds to support women in trouble, an inspirational and empowering series of online concerts led by Ireland's top female musicians and artists is running over the coming weeks. The series is called Mehel na Mon, and on the line to tell us more, we have Sarah Benson, who's the CEO of Women's Aid. You're very welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks, Donal. Hello to your listeners there.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. First of all, Sarah, tell us a little bit about the work that Women's Aid have been focusing on during the COVID-19 lockdown.
Sure. Well, Women's Aid have been in existence since 1974, and we're a national support and advocacy service for victims of domestic violence and abuse. And what we have seen during the COVID-19 crisis in respect of our services is our face-to-face services, which are based in the Greater Dublin area, have broadly moved to kind of dedicated telephone support, with some components of our face-to-face continuing safely. However, the National Free Phone Helpline has continued uninterrupted and fully resourced since the outset, and continues that way. So we're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what we've also done is expand our instant messaging service, which we had just started, which was running Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays from 7 till 10. Now it's 7 days a week from 7 till 10, and also lunchtimes during the week. And that's a really important resource, because this current situation has been incredibly exacerbating for anybody for whom their home is not a safe place, which is unfortunately the case for many, many thousands. And And the fact that we can offer a service whereby somebody can reach out silently, if perhaps actually making a phone call and speaking in their home is not a safe thing to do, has proved a really important resource. So we're still here, and we're also part of a broader government campaign I'd like to mention, funded by the Department of Justice and in partnership with the domestic and sexual violence organisations. And that is called Still Here, and there is a dedicated website, stillhere.ie, that has all of the information on our own services, but also the other domestic violence services, sexual violence services, and indeed services for men, which are there as well. Though sadly, the larger proportion of those who suffer domestic abuse would be women. There are also other victims as well. So we are still here, and we are hearing really sad things. But at the same time, you mentioned there's an amazing sense of community and collective, which we've been really humbled and really honoured by, with the likes of those projects like Mehel na Mon and others, where they're raising much needed funds, and they're also raising awareness as well as part of that there's people out there that need support and help.
It's really important for that. And you mentioned the face-to-face service that you still have going on. And I guess I'm sure there may be additional challenges that you're facing to provide that service during lockdown. Are there?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I'd say now the vast majority of have moved to phone. Where it might involve particular risk assessments or things like that, where we've been able to manage it. It's only in a few cases, but part of, I think this is what all we are considered an essential service, but all essential services have had to kind of turn our skills and take health and safety advice to the degree that I never thought we would be doing, from mapping out workplaces, making sure that there's protective equipment, making sure that everybody is made feel as safe to continue doing their work, and also get out of our services as possible. So it's a huge component of my work and my colleagues and our health and safety officer is to it's great because I'm very confident that we are doing things well, but it's a new challenge at a difficult time, and I suppose one that we all have to step up and meet in order to keep everybody safe.
Well, that's it, exactly. And so just moving on a little bit towards this series, Women's Aid have partnered with TG Carr for this series. Tell us a bit about it and how the collaboration happened, how it came about.
Well, I really have to say that the credit and the all the running and the work has been done by TG Cahir and the wonderful artists who've contributed their time. Women's Aid has just been delighted to be supported by it, and then sort it in turn. They approached us and they had this idea, and as you mentioned, it's some of our finest female artists around the country coming together, singing from their own homes. It'll culminate in them all singing together, which will be just lovely. But this has been going out weekly on TG Cahir's YouTube channel, and I believe that they will do a compilation program for their terrestrial channel sometime in the future, and I think that's wonderful, because there's just been these remarkable performances already from the likes of Sharon Shannon and Naomi Cronin and Wyvern Lingo, and I think this coming Wednesday it'll be Cliona Hagen, who's an Irish country singer from Tyrone. There's been two have gone out already, and then two more to come, and you can watch them back on TG Cahir's YouTube channel. It's really well worth it. It's really lovely performances, and I just think it's really fantastic, because of artists in my own life, and it's that combination of creativity and connection that comes through different ways. I mean, I can talk about the issue, I can talk about the experiences that, you know, of distress and upset and fear that we're hearing on the helpline, but for somebody else, something coming through song, you know, resonates more deeply. And I just think that wider way of connecting, and the word metal, I think, you know, for those of your listeners who don't know maybe what that means, it's even the name of it, Metal Naman, is you know, that coming together as a collective. It's a working team, but it comes from the old Irish concept of people gathering around as a group to help their neighbours, to meet their needs, and it's really resonant. At the moment, we're all coming together as a community to protect the most vulnerable, you know, our elders, the immunosuppressed, but also at the same time recognizing that this situation is creating more difficult circumstances for those facing other risks and other dangers. And so in that sense, really apropos, it's lovely.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. It's a great name, I have to say. Like you said, it resonates with people. You said maybe some of the people that we've had already on the series. Who can we expect to feature in the coming weeks?
So, now, I am not... we have had Roisin O, Mary Black, Sharon Shannon, and I'm not sure exactly who else is coming up, because I think some of the people are still to be confirmed. I do know, as I say, Cliona Hagen, from Tyrone, there's a band who from Wicklow, which made up of three women called Kiva Barry, Karen Crowley, and Saoirse Gwan. So I actually don't know, is the honest answer.
Fair enough.
Because it's evolving a little bit.
Of course, yeah.
But when we have that information, I think TG Cahir are promoting it themselves, and we'll be promoting it as well. And if anyone did want to support, either when we're seeing the events or after the fact, you know, if they want to, they can simply text ACTION, the word ACTION, ACTION, to 50300, and that is a direct €4 donation to Women's Aid.
Brilliant.
So if I may, just, you know, for any of your callers or your listeners who might be affected by domestic violence abuse, or indeed worried about somebody and not sure how to support and assist them, because our helpline is very much there for parents, for colleagues, for friends as well, just to say that our number is 1-800-341-900, and we are, as I said, there 24/7.
Super. Thanks for letting us know that. So you mentioned to watch the series, people go to TG Cahir's YouTube channel, is that correct?
That's right, yes, YouTube channel, and it'll be live on Wednesdays, And then, as I say, you can watch it back as well. So it's just I think it's easy to find. TG Carr. There's not many of them.
Not many of those. Yeah, especially if you put in the word as well. Perfect. So I guess more generally, then, if people want to find out more about the great work that you do in Women's Aid and the services that you provide, where could they find more information on that?
Yeah, our website is womensaid.ie. That's also where our instant chat operates from the website. And we have loads of information about ourselves, what we do. We also are a campaigning and advocacy organisation for social change. So, you know, some of the kind of our election submissions for programmes for government, if people are interested, are there in terms of how we kind of sustain and continue to do better for victims of domestic and sexual violence with our new government. And then, likewise, if somebody is maybe concerned about somebody or perhaps is a little bit worried about their own relationship, they can check. And for younger women, we have another dedicated connected website called 2INTOU. It's literally the words TOOINTOYOU, which a really simple but really effective kind of relationship test, which can help someone to maybe like think a little bit more about whether the relationship they are in or that they're entering into is healthy or perhaps unhealthy or showing dangerous signs. That's 2INTOU, and we've been running that particularly around focusing on dating abuse, because obviously it isn't just in the context of where people are living together. You know, sadly, more and more we're also seeing it in, you know, with younger women in particular suffering abuse just from in dating relationships. So yeah, all of those resources and information are there at womensaid.ie or 2INTOU.
Great. Sarah, thank you so much for the work that you do, and thank you so much for coming on to talk to us about it as well. It is really helpful for people to hear about these services, so thank you.
Thanks, Donal. My pleasure.
No worries. So that was Sarah Benson, CEO of Women's Aid. And if you've been affected by any of today's interview discussion, you can call Women's Aid 24-hour national free phone helpline on 1-800-341-900. That's 1-800-341-900. Spirit. We've all certainly been welcoming the arrival of warmer weather over the last few days. And with this bank holiday weekend and a summer on the horizon, it's important to remember that if you are living near a beach or a lake, or plan on going swimming or out on a boat or a kayak, to be very mindful of the dangers of water. So on the line now to tell us more, we have Water Safety Ireland Council member Lola O'Sullivan. You're very welcome to the show, Lola.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Not too bad at all. So Lola, first of all, beautiful lakes, rivers and the sea, they're very nice to look at, but we need to remember that they can also be very dangerous places. Could you chat to us about some of the important precautions that we can take to make sure we stay safe this summer?
Okay, well, first of all, we're still in phase one, so people shouldn't be veering outside their 5K. But I think that during this time, we've discovered areas around our own locality that we might have been aware of, or even lakes or rivers or the sea or quarries that would be near us that we may never venture to because we may have travelled outside of our 5K to go to the water. Mm. So just to be aware that they're not always safe places to go swimming. And that if people are going swimming, that they always need to stay within their depth. Like, it doesn't matter where in Ireland you are, and it might be a beach that's very familiar to you and that you walk on every single day. But during the winter period, the topography of the beach changes. So things that may have been safe last year are no longer safe this year, or areas that are no longer safe. And an example of that I can give you, I'm living in Tremor County, Waterford, where we had a near fatality yesterday evening where a local girl went out swimming to an area that she would have been very familiar to her, and she would have been with two or three other girls, and they were teenagers, and she got caught in a rip current which pulled her out to sea, and luckily there was a local surfer nearby, and he was able to put her up on the board, and the RNLI took her to safety, which was a really positive action out of everybody involved. Now, what I want to make people aware of, particularly this coming weekend, is that it is quite normal throughout Ireland that the lifeguards would be on beaches at this stage of the year. But unfortunately, due to COVID-19, local authorities haven't been in a position to do their recruitment at their normal times. So they're a little bit later this year. So some lifeguards in counties will not be on beaches this coming weekend. And it may be later, it may be next week or the week after before they get onto the beaches. And that that can be, you can go onto Water Safety Ireland website and you can actually look up your own area and see if there are lifeguards on the beaches.
There's a lifeguard on
the beach. Yeah, the ideal scenario is that you swim at a place that is known to you and that there are lifeguards on duty.
Great. So with that in mind, can you talk to us about maybe some of the more common dangers of the sea and lakes, particularly in summer?
Okay, some of the things that, you know, you should go to somewhere that you know. You should swim within your depth. You shouldn't be venturing out into deeper areas. You should keep your children, particularly younger children, supervised at all times. Like taking your eyes off a child for 2 seconds can be a fatality for a child because they can go underwater and you mightn't be able to see them. So it's really, really important that you watch your children at all times. Mm. The other things are, you know, never swim out after floating objects. What are absolutely dangerous and to keep away from are things like lilos and, you know, those kind of decorative swans that you blow up and you can sit in. Keep
yeah.
away from those because if the wind changes and you're at a beach, it can take you out to sea at a very fast rate.
And you wouldn't even notice maybe that that's happening, I guess.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody, a child or you can be beside somebody and it can be deceiving how fast you're moving.
Mm.
And then you go to jump off it and you're suddenly out over your depth.
Sure. Yeah,
the other thing I would say is, you know, if ever something like that happens to you, stay with the object. You're better off on it being rescued by the Coast Guard or the RNLI and stay with the object. If you jump off and you go to try and swim in, it can be often much further than you expect and can be extremely dangerous.
And so that was for the sea and the lakes. And you mentioned quarries as well. Is there anything that we can do to stay safe around quarries?
Well, ideally you wouldn't swim in a quarry at
all. Don't swim in a quarry at all, exactly.
Don't swim in a quarry at all. But there, you know, if for any reason you're going into the sea, quarry or lake, make sure there's a ring buoy close by.
Mm-hmm.
And always make sure there's somebody with you.
Okay.
Because if something happens, at least there's somebody there to call the rescue services or to bring a rescue tube or a ring buoy out to you. I would say this to you. If there was ever an incident where somebody gets into difficulties, if you're not a trained swimmer, do not get in the water. Try and find an object near you, be it a stick or maybe a jumper that you're wearing or a piece of clothing, and reach out to the person and try to pull them in that way. But please do not put yourself in danger. It is tragic when a person dies. It's even worse when there are two or three people drown.
Mm-hmm.
When they go out to help somebody.
And pools and paddling pools and things like that, are there any particular things that we should be careful of there?
With the weather so hot this weekend,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I said, children or even ponds in people's gardens,
yeah.
they should be covered. If the children are not being supervised when they are in paddling pools, or if there's a pond in your garden or a stream beside you, they should be covered or there shouldn't be access for children when they're not being supervised in that area. Another area for water safety that's really, really important is fishing, and that if you're taken to the water, that you must always, always wear a life jacket. And remember that if you're in any difficulty at all, to dial 999 or 112 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Great. And now, moving on a little to boating, angling and surfing. These are popular activities. Do you have any advice for staying safe when you are engaging in these sports?
The life jacket is most important for particularly boating and angling. Surfing, stay within an area that you know. Make sure there are other people around. And in all this, in all that I'm saying, including swimming and that, at present, it is still very important to remember the government guidelines of keeping a 2 meter distance. So if you are going surfing and you're out with other people, that you keep your distance of 2 meters from them. And that you never lose your board. You stick with your board if you can at all. And that there are other people around in the event of you getting into any danger. Water Safety Ireland have a great website, and it's www.watersafety.ie. And at the present, because we have so many children in Ireland who are being homeschooled, there is a great pause which is teaching children about water safety at home. and is a great tool for children to use, and there are games and activities, and it just there's lots for them to do on it, and lots of learning for them to do from the home. Now obviously this weekend we might be giving them a little bit of a break from their studies, but if you want something interactive on the tablet, it is definitely worth looking at the PAWS programme for learning at home.
Brilliant. And Water Safety Ireland themselves have local contacts in counties across Ireland, do they?
Yes, they do. Mm. And if you want to contact your own water safety area, the email address is on the Water Safety Ireland website.
Great.
And you can pick it up. Unfortunately for 2020, Water Safety usually runs swimming and life-saving classes throughout Ireland, but because of the pandemic, there will be no classes this year for the summer season, which is an awful pity.
Mm.
But on saying that, there's loads of information on our website that you can learn about.
That's great. Lola, thank you so much for talking to us about this important issue. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and stay safe.
You too. Bye now.
Bye.
So that was Lola O'Sullivan talking to us about water safety from Water Safety Ireland there. And like she mentioned, if you'd like to learn more about water safety or learn where the contact is in your area, you can go to www.watersafety.ie and you can find the email address for your local WSI contact.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.